بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية ابتداء ولا لأثرية انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كل معرفته ورفعت عظمته الأفول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحى سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد
لا سيما على رحية الله وحجته الكبرى وفاطمة الزهراء ومعها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
يا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بدونه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأحدها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب صلوا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The series of majalis that has started 2 days ago, and since today is the first of Muharram, we will continue on the same subject, which was Awam al-Sa'ada, that means the ingredients of the spiritual success. And last night I talked about the basic fact that our sins and our obediences, ta'at and ma'asi, play a significant role in deciding the end result of our life. It really does not matter for the spiritual success of our life that what kind of household we were born in. What really matters for our spiritual success is that what is the setup of our life and the end and the final breath of our life. And tonight, in the continuation of the same subject, I would like to mention the second point, which is significant, which is a significant ingredient for our ta'adat and spiritual success, as mentioned by our Orafa. And that second ingredient is ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had already mentioned, which is narrated by both the sources, the Sunni and the Shia sources alike, that مَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ مَاتَ مِيتَةً دَاهِلِيَّةً. whoever died and did not recognize, didn't have the ma'rifat, and in Farsi you say shanakh. In Arabic we use the word ma'rifat. In the in-depth recognition of the Imam of his time, died a death of jahiliyyah. And jahiliyyah in Islamic history, we use the word jahiliyyah referring towards the times when people used to feel proud over their ignorance, burying their daughters alive and still feeling proud. And I use the word ignorantism to talk about the jahiliyyah, because that was almost a religion of theirs. So this time of ignorantism that people were, this was the time of kufr and shirk. So we learn in the light of the hadith of the Prophet, if somebody dies away from this world without having the in-depth recognition and ma'rifat of the Imam of his time, not only the Imam which was before your time, the Imam of your time, this person dies a death of jahiliyyah. And my teacher, Ayatollah Jawadi Nawawi Hafizahullah, was saying that one of the, he was saying that Qatan Mu'assir Sareen is certainly the most effective way of achieving the ma'rifat of the Imam Hirsiya. One of the most effective ways of achieving the ma'rifat of the Imam is the ziyarat of the Imam. So ziyarat is one of the most influential and effective ways, and ziyarat generates the ma'rifat of the Imam. It is important to keep in mind that all the ahdaf and goals that we are pursuing when we go for the ziyarat of the Imam of our time or any other Imam ahead of him, all those ahdaf and goals that we pursue are summarized in one single goal, and that is actually in the real sense ziyarat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what our scholars say, Al-Mazur al-Hafifi, the one who has been visited by you, actually in the real sense is not that Imam. In the real sense, you have visited Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Imam of the time is nothing but the Mazhar al-Akmal, the most perfect reflection of all the names of Allah and all the attributes and sifatul jalal wal jamal, all the attributes of majesty and attributes of beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could come in a body form, Allah is not a body, and He can never come in a body form. Is that right? Because bodies are limited, and bodies are creatures, bodies are temporary, they are limited to time and space restrictions. Is that right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of those attributes can apply in His favor. Allah can never come in a body form, because He is not a body. But if, we are talking about if, in philosophy you say that even thought was muhal, later the muhal. Is it right? That even supposing an impossible is not impossible itself. You can always suppose impossible. So if, we are talking about if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have arrived in a body form, He would be either in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, or in the form of one of those tell imams. Because they reflect Allah to His fullest. Nothing of Allah has been not reflected in their personality, nothing of Allah. When we realize this fact, that they are the mazhar of every single name and attribute, whereas none of the prophets of God, with due respect to all of them, because we in Islam believe in all the prophets of God, and respect all of them, but none of the prophets of God had the privilege to reflect Allah in all of his attributes. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, who was one of the five greatest messengers of all time, one of the five greatest Ulul Azm messengers receiving the Sharia and receiving the book from God, reflected only two names of Allah. That's it. And because of being a mazhar and reflection of two names only from the greatest names of Allah, he used to give cure to the lepers suffering from leprosy and used to make the dead alive with his nifaq, with the permission of God. Just because of being the reflection of two names. Just to give you an idea where what is the highness of our Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Islam, where do they stand? So we are talking about personalities which are unfathomable and immeasurable. There is no scale available in our control which can fathom and measure the ultimate and greatness of these personalities. Just like there is no scale and measure available which can measure the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, for whom they are representing as representatives. So the art of these personalities, beyond any doubt, equals in the status of doing the ziyarat of Allah himself. So we find that the ziyarat generates the ma'rifat. Like my teacher has said, this is certainly one of the most effective means of acquiring the ma'rifat which we have to acquire. There is no way a person, a believer, a woman can find an escape. So not having the ziyarat of the, never having the ma'rifat of the Imam of his time, because if we don't have the in-depth recognition and ma'rifat of the Imam of our time, not just the previous Imam, the Imam of our time, we will land ourselves into the domain of kufr and shirk at the time of dying. We will not die away as Muslims and believers and Muslims, we will die away as kufar and mushrikeen. So that's not an option on the table for us. We have no option except to have their mind. And like my teacher said, that this is one of the ziyarat, is one of the most effective ways. So Imam Ali al-Islam says that in this hadith that أَذْنَا مَا يَكُونُ فِيهِمْ رَجُلُ ضَالًا, the lowest thing with which a person, in other words, the minimum with which a person can be called a misguided person, gumrah and bal and misguided, is أَنْ لَا يَعْرِفَ حُجَّةَ اللَّهِ, he doesn't have the ma'rifat of the hujjat of Allah. This is what it takes for a person to be called misguided. So, we read that famous dua that our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, talked to his famous companion, Burara ibn Ayyan, Allahumma arrifti nafsaka. And this is what we are supposed to read throughout our life. Allahumma arrifti nafsaka. Oh my Lord, make me have your ma'rifat, your in-depth recognition, ma'rifat. Because if you don't provide me your ma'rifat, I will not end up having the ma'rifat of your prophet. So what's the sequence of interconnection? How are these three things are interconnected and intertwined with each other? So Imam al-Islam says and teaches in this dua is to Allah, addressing to Allah, if you don't provide me your ma'rifat, I will not end up having the ma'rifat of your prophet. Allahumma arrifni rasulaka, fa innaka in lam tu'arrifni rasulaka, lam a'rif hujjataka. Oh my Lord, give me the ma'rifat of your messenger, because if you don't provide me the ma'rifat of your messenger, lam a'rif hujjataka, I will not end up having the ma'rifat of your your hujjat. Now what's going to happen if I don't have the ma'rifat of the hujjat of Allah, which means the Imam? Allahumma in Allah ma'arifni hujjatuka, oh my Lord, give me the ma'rifat of your hujjat. Fa innaka in lam tuharrifni, because if you don't provide me the ma'rifat of your hujjat, dhalaltu an deeni, I will be discharged from my religion. And it doesn't matter whether we pray, or we fast, or we go for hajj. There are so many out there who go for hajj. Isn't it right? Rotating around Kaaba is just wasted of time and money and energy and resources. Isn't it right? Because anything that you may think of doing, any ibadah and worship of Allah that you can think of performing, is conditional in the eyes of Allah, is going to be accepted only if you have the ma'rifat of the Imam of your time, first and first. There are so many out there who are doing, and there were so many who were even doing the hajj and salat and song even in the time of Imam Hussein in salam. Isn't it right? Did the people quit doing the hajj? Imam Hussein in salam did the umratul mufrada instead of doing the hajj. That means Imam Hussein is not performing the hajj and instead doing the umratul mufrada and departing the city of Mecca and leaving for Iraq, whereas those silly Muslims were arriving towards Mecca and turning their backs towards the walayat of the imamah and leadership of the imam of their time, imam of their time.
Allah, Allah,
all those people realize that without turning, and you turn your back towards the imamah and walayat of the imam of your time, and you don't have the ma'rifat of the imam of your time, no matter what ibadah you do, including this hajj, this very hajj that they are coming to perform in Mecca, is not going to be accepted. If they have this kind of understanding and awareness and depth understanding of the religion, they would never do that. And this is the same case that has been repeated, oft repeated in the history, over and over again. All the 11 imams receive this hard time from their so-called believers in Allah. Doing various types of ibadah, reciting Quran in such a nice way, constructing beautiful masjid, and masjid are full of those who are praying in it. But you find what is missing is understanding of the religion. Al-wahi, what in Arabic says al-wahi, basirat, in-depth and awareness of the Islamic concept. You are turning your back towards the walayat of the imam and you are mute towards the walayat of the tahut of your time and you are praying with this kind of understanding of the religion. And this lands the imam of the time into loneliness, into hardship, and finally he becomes shaheed. 11 of the imam became shaheed, one after the other. Now the time arrives for the first one, who is the Khatamul Awliya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him away from our time. So, if the people were sticking with the concept of the ziyarat of the Imam, tonight we are talking about the ziyarat, that's what my teacher used to say, that the Rahim Ma'arifat al-Imam, the path of having the ma'rifat of Imam is a path belonging to Alamul Ghaib, the world of unseeable reality. This path goes through the Ghaibi route. It's such a beautiful statement. It's such a nice and deep statement. Just like the Nasbul Imam, appointing of the Imam has to be Ghaibi as well, isn't it right? It has in our belief system, in our Isna'ashari, Sarwar Imami belief system, we believe that the previous Ma'soom and infallible must announce the upcoming Ma'soom's name and introduce him to the community. Because we are unable to see the hikmat, the infallibility of the Imam. We are unable to distinguish his hikmat and infallibility because, and likewise the Imam, you can see the Imam. You can see the physical body of the Imam, but you can never see his Imamat. Imamat of the Imam is belonging to Alamul Ghaib. it belongs to, it's an entity that belongs to the world of unseeable reality.
Just like the risalat of the Prophet. You can see the Rasul, so you can never see his risalat and messengership. The messengership of the Prophet is a noor and divine light found in his soul, which we are unable to witness. We don't see the noor, isn't it right? Because we don't see nothing belonging to the Alamul Ghaib, the world of unseeable reality. And Risalat and Walayat and Imamat are all part of the same domain of Ghaib. So it takes another masoom, an infallible, to witness the ismat, the infallibility of the other masoom, just like it takes another Imam enjoying the mansab and divine position of Imamat to see the imamat of the next imam, and take the walayat of one wali and mawla to see the walayat of the next wali and mawla, just like it takes one prophet to recognize the nubuwwat and prophet of the other prophets. Because all these things are belonging to Alamul Ghaib, and it's not tangible that we with our physical eyes can see.
So, nasb of the imam, and all set of the Imam, rightfully so, we Islamists believe that every Imam has to be appointed by Allah, just like every Prophet has to be appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now when the ultimate of an Imam is so high that Amir Mumir Islam says in Abdul Balala, Jan Hadra and his tail, Wala Yarta ilayya tail. That means a storm flows out of me, in other words. And no bird can reach that high, reaching the ultimate and greatness of Imam Ali al-Salam. So Imam Ribba al-Salam, when he was taken forcibly, he said, what? But Imam Ribba al-Salam was taken forcibly by Mamun al-Rashid and to the city of Marj, which was the capital of his huge empire, and that city is right now located in what we call in today's geography as Turkmenistan. So when Imam Ribba al-Islam was taken to the city of Marj, and he reached the Masjid al-Jami', the central mosque of the city, and that's where they started to discuss the subject of فَأَلَارُوا أَمْرَ الْخِلَافَةِ وَالْإِمَامَةِ. They started the discussion of Imamat and Khilafat in front of the Imam. And that's where our eighth Imam delivers such a nice sermon which is resisted. And it's a masterpiece if Allah gives time to us sometime, inshallah, we can talk about that. But what I would like to mention is one sentence, a few sentences from that sermon where Imam al-Islam says, هَلْ يَعْرِفُونَ قَدْرَ الْإِمَامَةِ وَمَحَلَّهَا مِنَ الْأُمَّةِ فَيَجُوزَ فِيهَا اِخْتِيَارُهُمْ. Do they recognize the status of the Imamat so that his status, so they can choose somebody for that position?
You see, choosing somebody for a position like Imamat requires that you first know the job and its description. Then you can choose somebody who can do the job. Do they understand and realize and recognize the job itself, the Imamat, the role of leadership? When they don't even understand the role and the job, how can they appoint somebody who is supposed to be sitting on that position?
And then Imam Ali Salam is a long sermon. He says, وَهُوَ أَحَيْثُ النَّجْمِ مِنْ أَيْدِ الْمُتَنَوِّلِينَ.
Imam of the time is just like a star towards the hands of those who are trying to grasp the star. No matter how much you stretch your hand, that hand is never going to reach the highness of a star. This example Imam is furnishing to make us realize that the ultimate and greatness of an Imam is beyond the reach and measure of a human. So when it is beyond the reach and measure, then we are unable to decide on our own. We humankind fail to understand one basic formula of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided that no one has the right to rule over my creation other than my representative, whereas the humankind never recognizes this basic formula and always tries to appoint their rulers and leaders on their own.
لبيك يا مهدي
لبيك يا مهدي
لبيك يا مهدي
نعم الله
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
So this is how the behavior of the human primate. Look at the arrogance and look at the mercy of Allah. He has been tolerating all that behavior, nonsense behavior of humans in the name of freedom, intellectualism, open-mindedness, you name it, human rights, women's rights, freedom of expression, so on and so forth, challenging the divine values, challenging the divine representatives, insulting the divine leaders, and choosing their own in the presence of the Allah's appointment. And it has been backfiring them throughout the history, from which they never did not realize. So we find that in the Allah, inna al-imama ka qasfa Allahu biha, Ibrahim al-Khalil, ba'da al-Nubuwati wal-Khulla. Imam Rida al-Islam says that imamah is something that Allah specified Ibrahim al-Khalil al-Islam after Nubuwat and Khullat. Maratatatan salisatan as a third stage. So first, Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam was the second most superior messenger. We call him Shaykh al-Anbiya. He was first appointed by Allah to be an obedient prophet, and later on chosen to be a Khalil and friend of Allah. And third of all, after passing the test of successfully being a prophet and a Khalil and friend of God, later on he was chosen to be now eligible to receive the final position, which is Imamah. Not every prophet was Imam and Wali and Mawla. So Prophet Ibrahim is one of those precious few messengers who were given the position of Imamah as well. So we find that the benefit of Ziyarat, we were discussing the ingredients of the spiritual success of a human, Awamil of Sa'ada. And Ziyarat is one of those things that provides us Sa'adat and spiritual success, because Ziyarat is raised the mind. The reason why Ziyarat provides us the spiritual success and Sa'adat is precisely because it ensures the ma'rifat of the Imam, which is required for us to die as Muslims instead of dying as kafirs and mushriks. So there are two benefits that our scholars have mentioned for Ziyarat. Whenever we do the Ziyarat of any Masoom alayhi salatu wa salam, the first benefit is what is called Ma'iyyah. We get along, we are included to be one of them. That's the benefit of number one. We all want to be included in the Zuhra, in the group of our Masoomin alayhi salam. Not just in the life in the hereafter that we love to be resurrected along with them, but also in the grave. And not just in the grave, but also in the life in this world. And these places, these three abodes, are directly proportional and interconnected and interdependent. If you want to be resurrected with the Imams on the Day of Judgment, you have to be with them in your graves. If you can ensure to be with them in the grave, then you will be resurrected with them on the Day of Judgment as well. How to ensure that you are with the Imam in the grave, and you have to be with them in the life of this dunya. So if you are with the Imam in the life of this dunya, then you will be with them in the Alam al-Barzakh, when we are lying in the grave. And if you are with them in the Alam al-Barzakh, then you are with them in the Day of Judgment as well. Isn't that right? So in the Maw Ta'ala wa Zil Hayat. The death is always on the divan, on the similar formats of your life. If you want to see what would be your status at the time of death, you look at your lifestyle today. So, and if you want to see how would you be in the Day of Judgment, in what form you would be resurrected, you look at your life status at the time of death. The way you would die, the same way you would be resurrected. So ma'iyyat with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is the sa'adat that we all will secure in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Ra'd has said, وَالَّذِينَ يَسْرُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ. So, and those who connect what Allah has commanded to be connected. At the end, in the verse number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ حُبَّ الدَّارِ. These are the people who have the good, the residing place, the nice residing place, and at the end of their life, in other words. So this ziyarat of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam provides us the ma'iyyat. So we are always with them. And we will be always with them. And obviously, see, when you are with somebody, it will reveal with your behavior that how much you love them. See, the love of any person as a concept is parakaini. It's a dual concept. So if you love somebody, you are mahbub and beloved has to love you as well. Only then it can be called a love. If it's a one-sided thing, it can never be called love in Arabic. And in any language actually, in the real sense, that's not love, that's taking.
The real love has to be two-sided. So if you love the Ahlul Bayt in the Salah, and because of your love you are visiting the Imam, then you must understand the same magnitude of love you have towards your Imam, whom you are visiting. He also has a similar amount of love towards you. The same level of importance that you hold for your Imam, the same is the level of importance that he will hold for you.
إن الله ينزل العبد حيث أنزله العبد من نفسه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, holds the same status for a servant, the same level of importance that the servant holds for Allah. Allah holds the same level of importance for his servant. How is important we hold for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily life? The time of salat is arriving. Do we care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I know people who work for Jewish bosses, and they have said to their boss, see, I'm a Muslim and I need to pray on time. If you respect for your, you hold respect for your value system, other people will learn to respect you as well. But if you yourself don't respect, hold respect for your own value, then forget about anybody learning to respect you. All those who are living respectfully have earned their respect to their behavior. Isn't that right? And their strong upholding of their values. That's why we always say to our youth that we don't believe in assimilation. There's no room for assimilation in Islam. In Islam we do not assimilate into any society. We integrate into the society. Integration means you hold your own value system, because we are unlike others. And we are probably unlike others because we are the only ones who carry the purest, Puritan value system of the prophets of God and their imams. And there is nobody who holds that pure value system other than us. Those who don't have the values that we're talking about and are talking about the values, isn't it right?
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
And the second benefit that we get, that our scholars say that we get from the concept of ziyarat, apart from the fact that it provides the order as the end result of your life that we are discussing in these nights, apart from that, it provides the ziyarat. The second benefit is it provides the ziyarat of the masumeen for us. When you go for the ziyarat of the masumeen, then keep this in your mind that he's also going to come for your ziyarat. Remember the story of Ayatollah al-Ummah, Hadith al-Qummi, rahmatullah alayhi, when he passed away? Yeah, when he passed away, and his son saw him in his dream. Hadith al-Qummi is one of our greatest muhaddithin in the history. And the one who had written this Mufassir al-Diran, which is almost part of all the Shia households in the world. And he has written several books, this is just one of his books. And so when he passed away and his son saw him in the dream and asked his dad, how are you there? And he said, well, how would you expect a person to be in a place where, in other words, there, because
see,
where, in a place where Imam Hussain is not finished. Because I visited Karbala 3 times in my life, and Imam Abi Abdullah and Hussain alayhi salam has also visited my grave 3 times. I remember in the life history of Imam Khomeini, it has been narrated for all those 40 and a half years of his lifetime when he spent in exile in the city of Najaf. Not a single day did he miss the ziyarat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Not a single day in his life. Now there are so many people who live in Najaf, and there are so many who live in Karbala, and so many who live in Mashhad, and so on and so forth, but not everybody has the tawfiq to go for the ziyarat, isn't it right? This is why the high level of love, which we call ishq, the strong, in-depth love towards the Ahlul Bayt and the Salam. And it's narrated that one of the nights when it was very much, rainy and, a rainy weather, and his son, Shaheed Mustafa, Rahmatullah alayhi, who was killed in Baghdad, he said to him that, the weather is like this, Imam Ali Islam, you can read the ziyarat from your home itself. You know, only consistent to you, even if you're in your own home. See, the weather is like this. So why don't you just stay tonight, stay home and just read the ziyarat from here? But he did not listen. He said, let me do the ziyarat in the way the people do, And so this, the same, deep love towards the Ahlul Bayt and the Salam, which is displayed when you go through the hardship. I would call and say, every hardship that you face in the path of the ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt and the Salam is a measure of pride for you on the day of judgment. Be proud of all the hardships that you face in the path of the ziyarat. This is not an ordinary thing. So, we find that people have been, what we are facing nowadays, brothers and sisters, is actually nothing as compared to what people had already faced in the history towards the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. When Mutawakkil Abbasi rahmatullah alayhi had diverted the whole river towards, tried to divert the water towards the grave of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, to destroy the grave totally and try to cut off the hands and chop off the hands of all those people who were visiting the grave of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. What kind of sacrifice are we offering for Imam Hussain today for the ayah? Traveling in, in a nice place and staying in nice hotels. So anything that we can do for their sake is actually a matter of pride for all of us. So, ziyarat of the Masumeen and the Salaam is confirmed. It's the second benefit they come from for ziyarat. And obviously we find that ni'mat of Allah, just like the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are initially for all. The rahmatul amma, the general mercy of Allah, which is personified in the word Ar-Rahman, includes all. But the specific mercy of Allah, Rahmatul Khassa, which is only for the Mu'mineen, is personified in the word Ar-Rahim. So similarly, we find the general karamat from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is all inclusive. But the special mercy is for the special Mu'mineen only. In terms of waha, yansurkum, so you tabbik aqdamakum. If you help Allah, Allah will help you and make your feet steadfast. So this has been interpreted in the tafsir that if you provide help towards the walayat of the Imam of your time, they will provide help towards you as well. This is confirmed. But first of all, we need to take a step to provide the help towards the walayat of the Imam of our time. He said, Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So, their karamat and love in the initial stages is always all inclusive. But the later stages depend on the ida'at and the ziyarat. If you go and if you obey the imams and if you go for their ziyarat, then you can expect their later stages of karamat and later stages of their display of love towards you. And this is what in the terminology of ziyarat we call it haqqul zahir. There's the right of a zahir on their neck. So we have in the Tahdhib al-Ahkam, it is narrated, in the one of the ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam, where they put the zahir in haqqam ala man atahu, and every person who pays a visit has a haqq on the imam, on that person whom he is visiting. Wa ana zahiruka wa mawlaka wa ghaifuka nazilubika, and I am your zahir. So this is what we call haqqul zahir. And our imams always pay the haqqul zahir. They always pay. They always repay. In some cases, obviously, if you are unable to physically go to the imam, some of the times we are unable to travel physically. If we can travel, we should travel physically. If we are unable to travel physically, then at least we can do the ziyarah from far away. And text salam. Some of the narrations say, because the reply back to the salam is wajib. The salam was them as well. Isn't it right? So they do reply back the salam that we say to them. Again, we don't hear those voices. Just like we don't hear none of those voices that belong to the alamul ghaib. We don't hear their replies. But obviously they reply back and they have been scholars in Wallafa who visited the shrines of Ahlul Bayt and paid salam to them, and they heard the voice of Imam Hussain alayhi salam or other imams, whomsoever, who are replying back to them. It depends on the level of the heart of our khalif to enjoy this privilege to hear their voice when they have departed this world. But they always send their salam, and their salam that he sent is always transferred to the Prophet and the Imam for whom we are sending our salams. So it is incumbent upon a person that in the hadith of our Holy Prophet, we find that he says, "Man zara qabri ba'da mawti kana ka man hajara ilayya fi hayati." Whoever visits me after my death is just like a person who comes for my ziyarat in my life. So there is no difference in visiting the grave of the Prophet, going for the ziyarat of the grave of the Prophet or any of the rest of the imams, and the same principle applying on them. And Prophet says, فَبْحَثُوا إِلَيَّ بِالسَّلَامِ فَإِنَّهُ يَبْلُغُنِي. That means send your salam to me because it reaches me. So if we say salam, no matter how far we are from the imam, it reaches them. And this is something that we are making ourselves in sync with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing when he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
When it comes to the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we find that his ziyarat has a special step, which is different in few ways. His haram is different in several ways than the haram of any other imam. First of all, we find that in the light of the hadith that this haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is actually part of the paradise. On the day of judgment, what actually the hadith did not say is this exact statement, but what we learn in the light of the hadith is that the haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam will be lifted up by Allah and placed in the middle of the paradise, so all those who are inside Jannah can do the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam anytime they wish. Which means that it is part of paradise. This surah of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is part of the sacred soil, isn't it right? That's why we hold importance for that. We don't put it in the lower pocket. That's why we respect it. That's why we can eat it, because Allah provided shifa in that surah. This is the only two soils
the storms in the time of Prophet Lut could not match.
And the storm in the life of Allah lifted these two soils. One was the soil of Karbala, and one was the soil of Makkah. But obviously, there is an authentic hadith that I would like to narrate to you, which is narrated in Kamil al-Ziyara by Ibn Mulawesh, Rahmatullah alayh, in this authentic mother book of Ziyarat that he has, where he narrates this hadith that Imam alayhi salam, Imam al-Fatih alayhi salam says, and this is to a narration from Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'qub, that this person, of course, is a very highly regarded companion, Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'qub. He is the person who said to Imam alayhi salam that لَوْ فَلَقْتَ رُحْمَانَةً بِالِسْفَيْنِ, if you cut a pomegranate into two, وَقُلْتَ هَذَا حَلَالًا وَهَذَا حَرَامًا, and you had said to me that this half of the pomegranate is halal and that other half of the same one pomegranate is haram. لَقُلْتُ أَنَّ الَّذِي قُلْتَ حَلَالٌ حَلَالٌ وَأَنَّ الَّذِي قُلْتَ حَرَامٌ حَرَامٌ, I would have certified that what that half that you said is halal and the other half of the same pomegranate which you said is haram. You may find some of those so-called intellectuals of today rising and saying, well, it doesn't make no sense for me. Well, nothing of the Sharia could make sense for you if you have your sense of your status. Nothing could make sense to you. Who gave you the license to judge the rulings of the creator of intellect in the name of intellectualism? Just because your level of your sense could not understand and realize the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave you the license to challenge the creator of the intellect and his wisdom just because you don't understand it? This is one of the very common innocence, spiritual innocence that you encounter nowadays in the name of intellectualism. So we find that this is Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'qub, and now Salih al-Islam has said about him that this same companion, that one side of his palace is connected with the palace of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one side of his palace in the paradise is connected with the palace of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and another wall, another side of his palace, Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'qub's palace, is connected with the palace of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and the other side of his palace is connected with the palace of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The same is Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'qub that we are talking about tonight. It's very important, brothers and sisters, to know about the narrator of the narration, because that signifies the value of what we are talking about. Isn't it right? Because Prophet Muhammad had a tradition that they always talk high content traditions, high content talk to high level companions. And medium level of contents were talked to medium level of audiences. And the general discussions were discussions from the general people. Isn't that right? So it's very important to talk about the companions. So you realize that now you realize the highness of the content that we are about to discuss. So Imam Khalil Islam says that Wallahi inna inni hasabtukum bi fadli ziyaratihi. I swear to Allah, certainly if I narrate to you the fadilat and the superiority of the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, but if of the tabrihi and the superiority of his grave, la taraktum al-hajja ra'tan, you guys would have abandoned Hajj totally. Wa ma hajja minkum ahad, none of you would go for Hajj. If I had talked to you about the fadilat of the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and the fadilat of his grave, none of you would go for Hajj. And then he says, وَيْحَكَ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ, haven't you learned that أَنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَ كَرْبَلَىٰ حَرَمًا آمِنًا مُبَارَكًا قَبْلَ أَن يَتَّخِذَ مَكَّةَ حَرَمًا. Did you not learn that Allah has chosen Karbala as His holy sanctity and sacred place and haram and a place of security, aminan,
and Mubarak and the faith of barakah from Allah and blessing from Allah. Allah has chosen Karbala as His haram and secure and Mubarak place before choosing Makkah to be His haram.
We find that Karbala is older, that this place is older than Makkah. This place is more sacred than the soil of Makkah. How is the whole importance of Makkah? It is the most superior mosque located in Masjid al-Haram, isn't it right? They are one of those four mosques where it is allowed for any mu'min to pray full prayers. Isn't it right? There are four mosques in the planet Earth where in terms of Islamic jurisprudence is allowed, even though you may be a musafir and traveler, according to the Islamic definition of suffer and trouble. But if you happen to be in one of those four mosques, it's allowed to pray full. One is Al-Masjid al-Haram. Haram in Arabic means the sacred, the one which has put up in dignity. So you say the word haram for all these haram because this law has a dignity in the eyes of Allah. This red line should not be violated. So Masjid al-Haram is a sacred mosque. That's where the Kaaba is located, and then Masjid al-Nabi, the Masjid of the Prophet, and then we have Masjid al-Kufa. Is it right? Masjid al-Kufa, where it is allowed to pray our prayers full. And the fourth place where it's allowed to pray your prayers full, even though you may be a traveler, is the Al-Haqir al-Husayn, the original haram of Imam Husayn. And so much tawaf of the ziyarat of Imam Hussain prayed is mentioned that even look at the highness. Anything, even if you cannot go for yourself for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain, and one of your community members has visited. How is our behavior, how our behavior is supposed to be towards this zahir? This visitor who is just returning back from the ziyarat of Imam Hussain. Look at the hadith where our Mawla says, "Man lam yaqdir an yazurani idha insarafa ar-rajulu min ikhwanikum." If one of a man returns back from your brothers, min ziyaratina, from our ziyarat or ziyarat al-kuburina, the ziyarat of our grave, fastaqbiluhu, welcome him, wasallimu alayhi salam to him, wa hanni'uhu, give mubarak and tahniyat and tabriq to him, congratulations to him, bima wa'ab Allahu lahu, fa'innahu fa'inna lakum mithla sawabihi, because you are certainly going to get similar reward as if you have visited the grave of that Imam. Just because you are greeting a mu'min who is coming from the grave of Imam Hussain, you say salam to him, you greet him, you basically pay your respect to him, and you congratulate him over what you did, and obviously you are going to get the same salam. So in Islam, it's so easy to get the reward, just that we need to do something. We need to do something and some good behavior to grab those rewards. And not just that, but let's go one step forward. Look at this second hadith which I have written here to mention to you, where our Imam alayhi salam says, "Man lam yaqdir an yazurana falyazur salihi mawalida." Whoever is unable to go for our ziyarah, we should visit one of our Saleh lovers. Any Shia out there in the community who is one of the Saleheen, if you go and visit one of the Shias who is Saleh, or the content of Allah, that's something very worthy interest that you want to gain out of that moment. That's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is a mu'min, believer in the walayat of Salimam, and he is Saleh. You will get the reward of visiting the Imam of your time. How much important it is to understand the whole concept of ziyarah. Because Saleh in Arabic is not the Ismul Fa'il, for those of you who are familiar with Arabic grammar. It is actually Sifat al-Mushabbaha. And in Arabic, we don't call a person to be Saleh, a good doer, just because he did one good act, or two good acts, or five good acts, or 10 good acts. That does not identify praise 10 times, isn't it right? that doesn't entitle me to be called Saleh in Arabic,
because it's sifatul mushabbaha, it's not a sifat. So the doer of the action, just because he does it a few times, is not going to entitle him to be called Saleh. A Saleh actually is a person who always does the same good deeds and never stops doing those. This is what we call a Saleh in Arabic. These are part of Salihin, who have this sifa, this attribute and a constant attribute of their soul. That's how we are called Saleh. So if we are visiting one of those Saleh Mumineen, we are going to get the similar rewards. So we find Ayatullah Sayyid Jamal Gulbaraghani, Rahmatullah Alayh, one of our great Orafat, visit the Ziyarat of Imam Hussain. And he went for the Ziyarat of Imam Hussain on foot, and a lot of hurrah, as compared to traveling through various means of transportation. If you are visiting Imam Hussain barefoot, you'll get even more hurrah. I know somebody in Pakistan who has visited Imam Hussain and Islam's grave in Karbala 15 times on foot. 15 times on foot to Karbala. There are people who do these kinds of jihad, visiting Imam Hussain and Islam's grave on foot, without traveling on any bus or any train or any aeroplane. And they say, Lord, this shows how much you love them. And if you love them to that extent, Imam Hassan and Islam did at least 15, in some narrations 20, hajj on foot. Where in some of those travels, the narration says he had some nice horses walking next to him. He could have been riding those horses, but he did not. He said, I feel haya. I feel sharm, I feel hesitant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rise and go in His presence. Imam Hassan was traveling on foot. This is part of our understanding. How is it? Our Ulfadah, when they visit the Karbala shrine, they take their shoes off in the city of Karbala. Do you know how far the blood of Imam Hussain and his companions' blood have been shed? Where? On this soil and this parts of the city? We don't know. So why are we putting our shoes on that sacred blood? It's all about your perspective. This perspective gives a whole new, you know, vision and a whole new reward for you, because you are now doing a different behavior towards Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So that's why the same two records of prayer that a sinner like me can pray can never be parallel to the same two records of prayer that an Arif Mujtahid, having the ma'rifat of the Imam of our time, can pray. Apparently it's the same two records of prayer. Doesn't keep being different. But there is a whole world of different rewards that it pays to his level of ma'rifat, his vision and perspective. So Ayatullah Sayyid Jamal al-Din Kulbaraghani, one of the great Urafa. And this Arif of ours went to the Haram of Imam Ali al-Islam once, and he requested Imam Ali al-Islam to please take away this vision away from my eyes. Because he was sick and tired of seeing those human beings in the form of animals. We, the humans, have been carving the faces of our souls with the kind of beliefs and actions that we have and we do. We are carving the faces of our souls, and we will be resurrected. We will be there in our grave, and we will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in the same forms and shapes of those animals precisely that we have been carving through our beliefs, good or bad, and our actions, good or bad. Nurani faces of divine light, or Zulmani faces of darkness. So he requested Imam Ali Islam, please take away that vision from me. Because he was sick and tired of looking into humans, interacting with humans in the society, and actually we can see the reality of their soul in the form of various animals, pigs and wolves and foxes, and so on and so forth. So the same Ayatullah Sayyid Jamal al-Din Gulbaraghani, he went to the Ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam. It was too much crowded. Is it right? On that day. So he sat on a corner in the stand, in the backyard, and was sitting there. Obviously he cannot push the people. He cannot do a haram for the sake of a mustahab. And Ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam is mustahab to mu'akkar. for the sake of doing it, recommended, extremely emphasized, recommended act, you cannot end up doing a haram by pushing people. There are some people do. For the sake of doing mubtaha, they do a haram. So he sat there, look at his perspective. He sat in the corridor because he cannot push the people. It was too crowded, calling for him to enter. Some people end up pushing each other just to test the belief of Imam. Just to test the belief of Wajib on you. You know, if you cannot, then at least don't push the people. Don't go wrong. Don't harm the people. You think Imam Hussein will be pleased with you by harming the people? So, people are silly, you know, they lack the Islamic awareness of the ruling. So he just sat in a corner, and all of a sudden he found this Imam Sahib of Zaman al Islam. And as I'm paraphrasing this conversation, I remember, and Imam said to him that, you know, go for the ziyarah. He said, well, I want to do the ziyarah, but, you know, it's too crummy. Imam asked him to go with him, you know, or after him. One of those people. So he started to walk behind the Imam. And obviously, everyone in the heaven, majesty, jalal, is that right? People automatically open up the way for the Imam. Just like it's narrated by for all the rest of the Imams. Just like it's narrated by Imam Shaddad alayhi salam, and he would give you the Tawaf of Kaaba in front of Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, isn't that right? That's where the Farad Kashai delivered his poem in front of that Tawaf. So we find that as the Jalal al-Kairani goes and Imam is going in front of him, the path is opened automatically when they reach close to the Wali. And Imam alayhi salam, and obviously the ziyarat has impacted. And finally, one after the other, Imam, the name of each and every Imam is mentioned. And then Imam asked him to say salam on the Imam of your time. And he said salam to the Imam of his time. And Imam Sahib was the one of Islam, replying back to the salam to him. And finally, after this, Imam gives him a gift. He takes the gift, and after a while he says, when I turned around towards the Imam, he was no longer there. And then, as soon as the Imam was gone, then I was thrown out by the crowd out of the haram, and my Imam fell down. So we find, brothers and sisters, that the honest that we do for the Imam has an impact, that he will be counted to be one of in the group of the Imam, and obviously the Imam is going to be visited us, inshallah. And also it provides a ma'rifat in the life, so our death is also on the ma'rifat of the Imam, and it provides the sa'adat. So we find the Imam Sahib al-Islam has said to Mufazzal that whoever wants to do the ziyarat of Allah on Arsh should go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam. So Imam Hussain ziyarat is like ziyarat of Allah on Arsh. Imam said to Mufazzal, whoever wants to shake hands with 124,000 prophets of God should go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam. So one ziyarat of Imam Hussain al-Islam equals to shaking hand and musafaha with 124,000 prophets of Allah. Imam Hussain al-Islam also himself did the ziyarat when he was departing Karbala. We find that Imam Hussain also went for the ziyarat of the grave of his ancestors, the grave of his grandfather Rasulullah. Imam Hussain, he knows that this is the last ziyarat, last visitation of the grave of his grandfather that he's doing. After that, he's not going to come back. So, and when he visited the grave of Rasulullah, he almost sat there, and that's where he found Prophet in his dream. And he asked the Prophet to bring him, to take him towards him, to take him to him. And Prophet told him, then now he has to offer the shahada in the laha. You know, obviously Imam Hussain himself has said it with hadith, in the laha sha'a an yarani kabira wa an yarahunna sadaya. Allah has decreed, Allah has wished that he wants to see me as a shaheed
وَأَنْ يَرَاهُنَّ سَبَايَا, and to see them, that means the Ahl al-Haram and captors.
So Imam said, Islam has to do the job, the duty which is on his
back towards protecting Islam by providing those sacrifices. So finally, he departed the grave of Rasulullah. He visited the grave of his brother Imam Hassan al-Mustafa al-Islam. And also, the narration says that Imam Hussein visited the grave of his great mother, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra.
But the narration says, when Imam was coming to the grave of the Prophet, it was different. When he was coming to the grave of his brother, he was different. When he came to the grave of his mother, it's just like a baby, just like a child rushes towards the mother.
Just like a child goes towards the mother, that's the way Imam Hussein went towards the grave of his mom.
How much Imam Hussein is attached? See, this Medina is the hometown of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. How much shameful is this? Not a single Shia came forward to say to Imam Hussein, Bawla, don't leave your hometown because I'm here to sacrifice my life for you. How much far away people had gotten from the Walayat of Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Salam.
So we find that Imam Hussain al-Islam is doing the ziyarat al-bida, the farewell ziyarat of his mother. And he also comes towards another the personality, Umm al-Mu'mineen, Umm al-Salama.
She's also like his mother. And Umm al-Mu'mineen, Umm al-Salama, the wife of the Prophet, who is living in Medina. She's a very respectful lady.
And she tells the story to Imam Hussein when he comes for the farewell and bidding farewell to her. And she says that you are a king and Prophet was. When Prophet came into my room and he wanted to relax, and Prophet said to me to shut the door and don't allow anybody to come in. And Prophet was relaxing, and at that time when I shut the door and sat down outside, you came at that time. And you were trying to visit your great father Rasulullah, but I refused to allow you to enter into his room. And you turned away by crying, and after you started to cry, I started to hear the voice of the Prophet from the inside. I rushed inside to find what happened to the Prophet, and Prophet was also crying. So she said, the Prophet said to me, you did not even allow my husband to come in. Prophet said to her and complained to her, the one said, you did not even allow my husband to come in. And she said, I was so much worried, I rushed outside to find you, and I found you there, you were walking. I grabbed you into my lap, and I requested you to please go back. And we find that when I took you back into the room, Prophet took you, and he was hugging you, and he was crying. And then I came again into the room, and Prophet told me that it's not about the Shahadat of Imam Hussain in Karbala. And that's where Umm Salama asked him, to how can I be knowing or I be aware of the Shahadat of Imam Hussain? And Prophet miraculously gave her the turbat and soil of Karbala. And she had put that soil in a bottle. So at the time, when before Ashura, she was always looking towards the soil to find did the soil converted to blood or not. And finally, when she was sleeping at the time of Asr, she found the Prophet again came into her dream. And her head was blood covered, and Prophet was mourning, and he was crying, and she inquired, and Prophet told her that he is coming from Karbala, and that his son, Imam Hussain, in other words, had been shaheed, he had been killed, and she woke up from the dream, and looking into that bottle, which had the turbat and soil of Karbala in it, and she discovered that the soil is no longer a soil, it converted into the blood of
فلا نقصى على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب منقلبون الا الله وانا اليه راجعون جراحي بحق الزهراء وابيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها
اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واقتل من صدر المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين وسيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من انصاره واشياعه واتباعه واعوانه بجاه محمد واله الطاهرين يا حسين
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.